Has God seen anybody through anything here? Hey, we got one hand. We got two hands. We got a bunch. Anybody? Yeah, he's brought you through a lot, hasn't he? And he's going to continue to see us through as we look and we lean upon him. I got to church this morning at Dillsburg. It was 85 degrees in the sanctuary. Nobody turned the air conditioner on. So I quick turned the fans on, and I turned the air conditioner on, and we maybe got it down to 83 before the people started to come in. And so I thought I should make this a little shorter, shouldn't I? But no, no, no. What we're going to do this morning is going to kind of cut through some of this, so be prepared. All right, over there, Rita, we're going to go fast, okay? All right, we're going to go fast this morning, but I think it's going to remind you there is somebody that will see you through it. Whatever the it might be in your life right now, whatever the it is that's coming, and oh, it's coming, but God will see you through as you connect with him and as you walk in his footsteps, as he invited us to follow me. Follow me. We've been talking for the last several weeks about enduring faith, that faith within us, and we've maybe looked at people over the years and just seen in the midst of chaos, in the midst of uncertainty, in the midst of pulling your hair out, people, did I get it back in place? Okay, no. People who can just kind of calmly look at life, who can kind of calmly deal with the chaos that is around them because inside their life is secure and they know God. And God knows them, and it really doesn't matter what's going on the outside because it's all based on what God is doing on the inside. That's right. We've seen those people, and we've looked at them over the years, and we've said, what is it about them that gives them this tremendous strength of faith? That's right. They can stand through the tough times. They can give when it's tough. They can take time to commit to always being there to support their opportunities to grow in God's Spirit, in worship, in small groups, with people and without. We talked about what it means to be able to practically get practical life teaching, showing up to a church on Sunday morning that teaches the Bible in practical ways so that you have something to deal with that you can look at as you live out your life on a weekly basis. We've talked about those opportunities of service when you feel that nudge, that elbow. I've told you that I've got a big bruise from my wife who just continually does that kind of thing to me. And so the bruise is getting a little softer now after last night, but I'm sure she'll start on me again in the next couple of weeks. But you know those nudges, sometimes they're from a person, sometimes they're internal, but they point us to do something, they kind of nudge us to do something. We say, I don't know what I'm doing, I'm not sure how we're going to do it. And yet we put our steps in Jesus' path, and he begins to surround us with others, and we begin to see a way through and to see his projects to completion. Mike, you were like that a couple of weeks ago. I don't know how many people are going to show up. It's a team effort, you bet. And then we talked about mentoring or providential relationships, people that come into our lives and we'd say, you know, if she didn't come into my life, if he didn't come into my life, if that group hadn't come into my life, I don't know where I'd be. But God brings people into our lives at just the right time to kind of situate us and to encourage us and to mentor us and to be there for us. And in the process, we are building. Well, let me get it up. strength. We're building spiritual muscle. We are building our faith as we lean on God and He begins to work in our lives. He will see you through it. And today I want to talk to you about something called spiritual disciplines. Oh, that sounds terrible. Any time you have the word discipline in there, I'm not quite sure about how good the sermon will be. But the spiritual disciplines and discipline in and of itself is a hard thing. It's been said that discipline is the friend you dread to see coming, but the friend you hate to see leave when he goes. And that's what these spiritual disciplines are. It's when people say, hey, for the first time, I'm going to begin to read my Bible regularly. For the first time, I'm going to clear my calendar and I'm going to take time to pray. Not reactionary prayers, but real heartfelt prayers. You know, not, oh God, give me a good parking space today. Or, oh God, I pray that he calls me back or she calls me back. Prayers where we begin to really open up to God. First time we sit down and clear out the space and begin to really pray to understand who this God is and to begin to allow Him to speak to us. Second spiritual discipline I want to talk to you about today is the spiritual discipline of percentage giving. And I know, oh, pastor's going to talk about money. Wish he wouldn't talk about that. We're not talking about, you know, hey, there's a need. We're going to swoop in and meet that need. But we're talking about realizing that we are a part of the kingdom of God. And we need to invest in our community. And we need to realize that there is a community beyond us that is this world. And we finally need to talk this morning about corporate worship. Corporate worship. That doesn't seem very personal, spiritual, discipline-ish, but it's more like saying, hey, you know what? I need to be here Sundays. And I need to find myself a group that I can join and be a part of. Not just checking off the boxes, although sometimes it may feel like that. But there's so much for us to learn as we join together corporately, more than just checking off the boxes about what God wants to teach us and wants us to experience. It all of these things involve pre-deciding. Pre-deciding. They're all factors to making our spiritual muscle bigger and stronger. It involves pre-deciding. It's saying, I got to get up an extra half an hour in the morning, which was really hard to do today after last night. But get up earlier in the morning and I'll make a decision to spend time with God. I'll pre-decide what is my income and what percentage of my income am I going to give to God off the top. I'm going to pre-decide that instead of just kind of playing it by ear every week and throw a few dollars in the plate. And finally, you know, I'm going to decide that I'm going to make it a priority to show up where God's at work, where God wants to do something in our lives. And so those three disciplines are the things that we're going to talk about today. I want to make it perfectly clear to every single one of you today. The most important thing in your life, whether you believe it or not, the most important thing in your life today is your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not about a church. It's not about a doctrine. It's not about a theology. It is about you being able to stand here or sit there or be out in the world and say, Heavenly Father, Thy will be done right now, here in my life, and in and around your world. It's taking that quiet time to be alone with God, allowing Him to speak to us and us speaking to Him. You see, our spiritual lives have an external part to them, and it has an internal part to it. It is an external part in that we're called at times to serve, like all of you did yesterday. We're called to serve and step out. And I don't know what I'm really doing here, but I guess I'll try to. And then God surrounds us with people to encourage us and to help us. But it also has an internal component, which is what these spiritual disciplines are all about. And if we lose that personal, that internal side of it, we start to lose that personal connection with God. And Sundays and church and our faith just kind of becomes routine and corporate. I'm afraid that sometimes we get into churches and we meet people and we spend some time with people and we realize they're not really, you may be Christian, but you're not the nicest person. Like maybe some of that stuff is dying on the inside, that Christ stuff. Now, I don't want you to be my friend. I don't really want to go to church with you. And I surely don't want my kids to marry your kids because I'll have to get together with you on the holidays. Finally, somebody laughed. Okay. Very good. Very good. But, you know, it's sometimes that spiritual side of us can die because we're not feeding it. We're not connecting. We're not allowing it to grow. It's that personal side of Christianity. It's that taking time to spend time alone with God that releases God's rule in our lives. It forces us to grapple with questions. Specifically, is Jesus really the Lord of my life? Or is that just something I say I believe? If we don't develop and foster our personal time with God, then all Christianity becomes for us is corporate. It's just a big, non-personal, non-gratifying corporate thing that we do. And our faith in God begins to dissipate. But the other thing is that when we do work at that relationship, when we do work at allowing God to speak to us and to move through us and to be a part of something bigger, it gives us a greater sense in our conscience of who He is. And things that bother Him will begin to bother us. And things that bring God joy will begin to bring us joy. Three disciplines will, you know, I wished I would have thought about this before the first service, but I think the first discipline is really about God wanting us to get connected to Him. It's that personal devotional life. People saying, I want to read my Bible every day. I may not initially want to do it, but I know I should do it, so I pick up the Bible and I begin to say, what does it mean to follow Jesus? If you don't do that, I encourage you to. It doesn't have to be like an hour. It could be 10 minutes. But just take time to walk with God. Encourage you to take the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and say, all right, Jesus, where are we going to journey today? Where are you going to take me in your walk and in your journey? Help me to see you better and speak to me as I try to listen and hear and comprehend. Those moments allow us to have personal time with the Creator and Savior of the world. Time that He can prompt you, that He can encourage you, that He can remind you, that He can warn you, and that you can invite Him into the details and the complexities of your life. You know, I stand up here every Sunday morning and say, any joys or concerns? And there's a few of you that are brave enough to say something. But there's a lot of you that just kind of like to, I hate it when it does that. There's a lot of you that just kind of hold that stuff in. And that's okay. Maybe it's really close to your heart. Maybe it's really personal. But when you spend quiet time with God, that's the time to allow Him in on the details of your life. I don't know about my kids. I don't know what choices they're going to make, God, and I'm worried about them. Just share with you for a minute. Now, I pray. First name that always comes to my mind is my son. He's had his share of heartaches and struggles. And so, you know, one of the first things out of my mind is, you know, Lord, I know Colin is far from You, but I just ask that You would walk with him. Even if he doesn't see you or hear you or talk to you, just be with him. That, Lord, when the door opens, you'll be there and he'll know that you care and that he's loved by his parents, but more so he's going to be loved by you. Just a little personal prayer thing for me. But you all have those things. Every single one of you, as you sit there this morning, some of you yawning, some of you wide-eyed because you don't want to close your eyes because they'll fall asleep. But all of us have those things. It is, you know, God said, when you pray, go into your room. And in those days, the houses were small. The doors weren't made of wood. They were made of leather. And he says, I want you to share. I want you to share with me. And he says, your Father who is unseen will hear your prayers and respond to you. He's just saying to you, God is just saying to each of us, give me your undivided attention. That's all he wants, just for a few minutes. Because he'll work out the rest of the day. He'll steer you this way or that way. He's just saying, please give me your attention. Yeah. Luke said it this way. There was a day, you know, all these things are going on. The news about Jesus spread all the more. And the crowds and the people came to hear him and to be healed of their sickness. And Jesus is like a busy guy. He's got places to be and people to see. And he's got to save the world in only 3 years. And they go into his room and he's not there. And it's like, oh no, we've lost Jesus. We've been waiting for him for 2,000 years. And now we've lost him. And Simon Peter and his companions go out looking for Jesus. And they said, finally, somebody got him, and they said, everybody's looking for you. You got places to go, people to see. You got to save the world in 3 years. 3 years. He could do it in 3 days. In fact, he did, but you know what I'm talking about. 3 years. To which Jesus said, hey, guys, the reason I'm a busy guy, the reason why I get up in the morning and go to a lonely, quiet place is so that I can spend time with my Father. Because I need Him as I work out my day. God's all He's asking for is the first few minutes of your day. And He said, I'll take it. I'll take you through the rest of the day. The second spiritual discipline And this one always kind of gets some of the guys a little cranky at me. But trust me, it's all about percentage giving. We've got to wrestle with this. Each of us has to wrestle it to the ground because we think at first it's all about. But when we wrestle it to the ground, we realize it's all about faith. It's all about faith. What is percentage given? It's just saying up front, I'm going to give a percentage of what I make and invest back into God's kingdom and into His community and into God's world. And we wrestle with this and we discover it's not about money. It's about priorities and it's about our faith in God. Jesus said it this way. He said, don't worry about what you eat. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. Don't worry about what you're going to drink. He said, life is more than food and drink. In fact, you don't have to worry about what you eat or what you wear. Your closet's full. Your closet is full of clothing, right? Right? Some of the women are starting to smile. The pastor's on to me, okay? And you know what? A lot of you, if you don't have something to eat today, there's chicken back there. All right? Good chicken, that's right. That's right. Finger looking good, chicken. You have so much. When you compare yourself to the rest of the world, so much. Maybe it would be better if they put up there, I've got to send my kids to college. I've got to pay for a wedding. I've got to, I need a job to be able to afford my family. And Jesus says, don't worry. Don't worry. I'll take care of it for you. He said it this way, the pagans worry about those things. But you don't need to, because I will provide, I will take care of you. I will see you through it. And he smiles and he says, the pagans run after these things, but God knows your kids need to go to college. God knows that you have bills to pay. He knows that you need a job to go to. Question is, do we believe in Jesus or not? I think a lot of times, a lot of us, me being a male, you know, we think, okay, I'll trust in my resources until I run out and then I'll turn to. I'll trust in my resources and then I'll turn to God. When I get in trouble, And I get nervous and help me, Lord. And Jesus says, listen, I got an idea. Why don't you just do it with everything? Why don't you just say right up front what you're concerned about and let me take care of it? But you know what? That involves some big time spiritual muscle and faith. Jesus is saying, I invite you to put your money where your faith is. And he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and there you go. All these things, your kids' college, your food for this afternoon, all of these things will be given unto you. Giving is an exercising of our faith because it allows us to let go of what we are most inclined to put our confidence in rather than God. You see, he's not really concerned about your money. He wants you. And the only way he can know that he has you is when he takes first place in your life. And eventually we realize this is not about money. It's about priorities. It's about serving God first. And as we serve God, then we get to the last one where God wants to give back to us in corporate worship. Corporate worship. Corporate worship. All right. There is a dynamic to corporate worship that is beyond our private lives. It's coming to church on a Sunday morning and singing a song. You guys really aren't good singers, okay? But it's singing a good song, all right? You didn't laugh. You really are horrible singers, okay? Or somebody sharing a story that allow us to experience God in a way that we might never be able to experience Him personally. I had a lot of people during 2020 say to me, "Oh, Pastor, I miss church." COVID, remember? Okay. And I could have said to them, "Hey, I got a key. Whenever you want to come on over, you call. I'll open the place up. You can walk through and you can say, I feel better because I've been to church." But that's not what you really meant. It's not the building. It is certainly not the preacher. All right? It is that intimacy that comes with corporate worship. That I can experience something with a group of people that I can't experience on my own. It is that opportunity to come together with believers that goes beyond learning to an experience. Do you know what you give up when you worship with other people, what you give up? You give up autonomy. Who's going to sit beside me today? Or where am I going to park? We give up autonomy. We give up individualism, and we come to this understanding that there is something better as we, that rather than just me. There's an aspect of Christ that we can only experience in corporate worship that we can never experience just on our own. That there's something that happens personally when we worship corporately. Now, the big challenge. Okay? You ready for it, Debbie? Okay. Three things I want you to do. I want to challenge you to do. I want you to give God the first minutes of your day. Don't worry about the spelling. I was a little tired last night when I was doing this. But how hard is it to take 10 minutes in the morning and say, "God, this day is yours. You already know what's going to happen. So Lord, just be with me and help me to respond in a way that will please you." First minutes of the day. Give God your first dollars of your income each week. Pick a percentage. I'm not saying 10%. I'm just saying pick a percentage. And say, "God, you know what? Off the top, I'm going to give to your kingdom and your work in my community and in the world." And maybe other things will come along that I'll feel like I want to swoop in and help, and that's great, but I want to give. And it's not a matter of money. It's a matter of trust and priority. And then finally, give God the first day of your week. Get your butts in church, All right? Or get your butts to your small group. Right, Linda? Wednesdays, right? Every other Wednesday. Get here and be a part of a group that is worshiping God, because there are times that you will experience things about God and through God that you could never experience in your life alone.